The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will it gain they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. So, here are a few quotes about winners and losers, because I think that's what's going on in the gospel reading at heart. And a lot of these are sports quotes, so I had to look them all up. You probably, many of you, not everybody, will know some of these. Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Two from Newt Rockne. Ouch, by the way, beforehand. Show me a gracious loser, and I'll show you a failure. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Might makes right. And a few kinder ones, okay, and maybe more recent ones. It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. A winner never stops at trying. Living your best life is your most important journey in life. That's Oprah, you can tell that's a little bit different. Everybody loves a winner. These sayings, especially I think the kinder ones, can be helpful in life, in the world, in terms of challenging the self and honing skills. But they don't have much to say about who we really are as human beings, as creatures, as complicated human beings living among other complicated human beings in a complicated world. In the gospel reading today, Jesus reveals that power and winning completely blind us to God. They can completely blind us to God. Even, I think, winning is not where God's heart is at. Peter simply couldn't imagine the Messiah, the anointed one, suffering or being killed. Simply put, Peter was in denial. Even though some prophets in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, plainly wrote that God's anointed was to come as a suffering servant, Peter wanted the Messiah to be strong and to be the winner, have victory. Perhaps also, personally, didn't want to see somebody that he respected and admired humiliated, and a little more selfishly, or hurt, a little more selfishly, didn't want to be part of something that was going to fail in the eyes of the family or friends. I mean, he'd given up his life to follow Jesus, and he didn't maybe want to look like a fool. Certainly, I think Peter thought, my fellow disciples would find a pep talk much more helpful than this incomprehensible disaster looming ahead that Jesus is picturing for us. Maybe, Peter thinks, Jesus really didn't know how to be a strong leader for his followers yet. So he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. And I don't think that Peter is alone in denial. Human beings, because we're so complicated and all sorts of intentions, good and bad, mixed in there, we're very skilled in the art of denial. We deny that aging and death are a natural part of life, so we spend a lot of money to reverse, especially certain superficial processes of aging. And I ask that nobody look in my medicine cabinet. We deny our powerlessness over a lot in life and cover it up by trying to control sometimes strange things, little tiny things in life, or feel panicky when we realize that we're and remember that we're not in control. For example, belting into an airplane seat. We deny that wealth and possessions don't lead to a fulfilled life, even though we know that they don't. A lot of times that trips humanity up over the centuries. And so we buy things that we can't afford and don't worry about the effect it has on other people. We deny all of the ways we harm creation for future generations and insist that we have a right to our way of life. And we deny sometimes having deep personal problems until we wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning with an anxiety attack. And like Peter, we want God to come and intervene powerfully for us and victoriously for us. We want to be part of something that looks successful in the eyes of the world. Maybe where God gets rid of all the bad guys and hurtful things like disease and injustice, we don't want to wait until the last day. We want it all now. We don't really want a God whose power is shown and revealed in rejection or suffering. See, Peter's not alone in his denial and blindness. But it's precisely to those in denial that God comes with forgiveness and new life. 2,000 years ago, God came as a loser, not a winner in Christ. In the last place we'd look for God, on a cross as an executed criminal. And today, God comes among us in a weak word, quotes that you have to look up online, a crumb of bread and a sip of wine. Again, not where you'd really look for Almighty God, the source of life. Christ comes to you this morning, bringing forgiveness and a foolish strength to help you withstand the changes and chances of life. And just as God raised Christ through faith, we are raised up. God raises up in you right here and now through the Word, through the sacraments, a new creation. A new creation who finds relief and comfort in hearing that God's way of weakness and foolishness is really the lasting way, is really God's way, is the eternal way. A new creation finds comfort in hearing that the world's ways of might makes right and triumph over others at all costs will be gone in the end. God raises up in you and me a new creation who's able to take up the cross for the sake of the gospel. In other words, who risks looking weak and foolish for the neighbor's sake and good. A new creation who blesses those and is able to bless those who persecute them, who feeds enemies, who associates with the lowly and outdoes one another in showing honor. And maybe most importantly, the new creation that God gives us freely, raises up in us, creates trust in a God who will have the vengeance so that we don't have to. And those are Jesus' final words to Peter, who can't bear the thought of losing or looking foolish. Jesus says to him, "Let God take care of them. They'll be repaid for what they've done. You don't worry about it. Let God take care of it. Now, at the moment, Jesus doesn't mention that the final word even for them will go beyond wrath and judgment to mercy, because the cross is the final word. And on the cross, Jesus gathered all of the evil in the world and overcame it with good. When it comes to salvation, that is God saving humans, making us whole and complete, making us his children, God's strength and power are shown most clearly in the weakness of the cross. So although everybody might love a winner, God is partial to losers. Amen.